It's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Friday, the 30th of October, and as we approach the Feast of All Saints this weekend, let's pray this portion of the breastplate of St. Patrick. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of the love of cherubim, and the obedience of angels, in the service of archangels, in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in the predictions of prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in the faith of confessors, in the innocence of holy virgins, in the deeds of righteous men. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Amen. Now that I get your motor going on a Friday morning, the Sunrise Morning Show here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Paul Lachman at the controls as we tackle all kinds of interesting topics this morning. Steve Ray will be along, and he's going to talk about what the Creed has to say about Christ's crucifixion. He's been doing an ongoing series with us about the Creed, because he's got a new book out on the Creed. Danielle Bean will talk about All Saints Day celebration ideas. I know a lot of you with your families wanted to do All Saints Day processions. Some of you have socially distanced processions that you're doing. Some of you don't really have that going, and Danielle's got some good ideas for you to celebrate anyway, because it's a solemnity. Lisa Hendy is going to talk about her book, I Am a Saint in the Making, which is a great saint book for kids. And then we'll look ahead to the readings for the Feast of All Saints with Father Hezekias Carnazzo of the Institute of Catholic Culture. So it'll be a saintly program, even if Anna Mitchell and Paul Lachman and I are imperfect vessels. So we'll do it all together. 2 minutes past, here's Anna with news.
Good morning. The Bishop of Nice, France, is closing all churches in his diocese and placing them under police protection in the wake of an attack that left three people dead yesterday in Notre Dame Basilica in Nice. Vatican News reports Bishop André Marceau expressed his sorrow, saying in a statement, quote, "My sadness as a human being is infinite in the face of what other so-called human beings can do." He said, quote, "All my prayers go out to the victims, their loved ones, the police on the front line of this tragedy, priests and the faithful who have been wounded in their faith and hope," end quote. Meanwhile, in a message from the Vatican Secretariat of State, Pope Francis has expressed his closeness to those who are suffering from yesterday's attack. From Vatican Radio, Francesca Merlo reports.
Informed of the savage attack causing the death of several innocent people, His Holiness Pope Francis joins in prayer with the suffering of the families who were affected and shares their sorrow. He asks the Lord to bring them comfort, and he commends the victims to his mercy. Condemning such violent acts of terror in the strongest way possible, he assures the Catholic community of France and all the French people of his closeness, and he calls for unity. Confiding France to the protection of Our Lady, he wholeheartedly gives the apostolic blessing to all those affected by this tragedy. Separately, a statement released by Matteo Bruni, director of the Holy See Press Office, said the Pope is praying for all those affected by the brutal attack, and that the people should react united, responding to evil with good. It is a moment of pain in a time of confusion. Terrorism and violence can never be accepted. Today's attack has sown death in a place of love and consolation like the house of the Lord. The Pope is informed of the situation and is close to the mourning Catholic community. He prays for the victims and their loved ones so that the violence may cease, so that we may return to look upon ourselves as brothers and sisters and not as enemies, so that the beloved people of France, united, may respond to evil with good. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The death toll from Hurricane Zeta is now at least six, including four people who were killed when trees fell on their homes. The storm has spread damage across seven states since crashing ashore in Louisiana Wednesday afternoon. More than 2 million people remain without power, with the most in Georgia, where several schools will remain closed today. Zeta was the 27th storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. It has now weakened to a post-tropical storm. The first African-American cardinal backs Pope Francis's recent comments in a documentary released last week in which he suggested a need for civil union laws.
He does not go into the issue of sacramental marriage, et cetera, et cetera. He just simply invites us to say, treat them with respect. Parents, don't throw them out of your familial bond of love.
Washington Archbishop Wilton Gregory was one of 13 men named cardinal this week at the Vatican. All 13 of the cardinals elect will officially be elevated in a ceremony later next month. Walmart is pulling guns and ammunition from floor displays, fearing civil unrest from the upcoming election. Dean Muccio has more.
The goal is to prevent thefts if stores get broken into. The retail giant has done this over the last few years, reacting to isolated cases of violence. It also stopped selling handguns years ago in nearly every state and banned buyers under 21. Firearms are now only carried in about half of the 4,700 stores. I'm Dean Muccio.
And Americans gain an extra hour of sleep this weekend as Sunday marks the end of daylight savings time. At 2 a.m. on November 1st, people across the U.S. will need to turn their clocks back 1 hour to reflect the new time. However, residents of Arizona, Hawaii, and many of the U.S. territories do not practice daylight savings time, and it will not affect them because they are smart.
I'm just going to turn my clock back all the way to January 1st, 2020, when the biggest problem we had was that the Pope slapped some lady on the hand in a procession.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's what I'm turning my clock back to.
Honestly, daylight savings time, we have artificial lights now. I mean, I get it, but I don't.
I'm pretty sure that in the New Testament, daylight savings time is one of the traditions of men condemned by St. Paul and our Lord.
You know what? I think you're right.
I'm just kidding. I hope people realize this. Yes. It's a Friday. We're in Friday mode already. Very early, and it's only 7 minutes into the show. It's only going to get worse from here,
Matt,
people.
Wait, well, you want to know what kind of a Friday it is for me?
What's
3 minutes before going on air, I spilled coffee all across my keyboard. But
oh,
I managed
wow.
to get the newscast together and on the
oh,
air.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So how's your Friday? I got to go
I'm
get
gonna...
some more coffee.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we'll see.
You talk to Steve Ray, all right?
I will.
Thanks.
7 minutes past the hour. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Steve Ray. You can find him online at CatholicConvert.com. We've been going through the Nicene Creed. He's got a new book about it. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Always good to be with you, even though it's kind of early.
Well, you know, we like to wake you up for the important things, Steve. And there are a few things less important, or a few things more important than what we talk about in the Creed when we say these lines that everybody knows, they're all familiar about how God the Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh, for our sake was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. There's a lot in there, but first of all, there are only two people mentioned in the Creed besides the Trinity. One of them's Mary. Makes sense. How in the world does Pontius Pilate become the only other person to make it into the Creed?
Well, a friend of mine one time said, Steve, I have no problem with your creed, really. He was an unbeliever. He said, except for the fact that you mentioned Pontius Pilate, because when you do that, it seems that you're trying to tie your creed into real history. Well, that's exactly the point, I think, of the Nicene Creed, is that one of the reasons that we have Pontius Pilate mentioned is to show that what we're discussing here is real history. It's not a fairy tale. It's not emotions. It's not some man-made religion. It is real history, starting with the God who created everything, Jesus who came down, and he was crucified by a real man named Pontius Pilate 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, and it's a real historical matter. And, you know, this proves the Bible, too. The accuracy of the Bible, because there were people that said that Pilate was just created to be the fall guy, that he didn't really exist. He was just a kind of a mythical figure, except that we do have him in books outside the New Testament in Josephus and Philo, who are both Jewish writers, and Tacitus, who is a Roman writer. But the interesting thing was in 1961, and I've seen this thing, In 1961, they're doing some work at Caesarea Maritime by the Mediterranean Sea, and they flipped over some old steps. And on the bottom of the step, on the underside, it actually has his name. It says, "To the divine Gustus of Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, prefect of Judea." And it says his name and his title right there on that stone that was flipped up. It's called the Pontius Pilate stone. So there we get real historical archaeological evidence that he really did exist and he was there between the years of 26 and 36, right when Jesus was crucified.
That's fascinating. And, you know, it's also a reminder of when you see, especially in Luke's gospel, notations about who was governor of what place and who was the emperor and all that stuff and all the census data, that is tying it directly into history. And, you know, this other line in here, it says he suffered death and was buried after being crucified under Pontius Pilate. You know, a lot of us might just gloss over that and say, of course he was crucified, of course he was died and then buried. But in some kind of modern scholarship where people say, you know, are trying to get at the historical Jesus, or trying to explain why people believed in the resurrection, there's this whole group of people who says, well, Jesus probably just, you know, was in a coma for a little bit, or maybe he swooned, or maybe he just, you know, passed out and woke up 2 days later. No, it is important that we say in the creed that he actually died.
Right, and some of the heretics of the early century also said the same. It's very obvious that he died. Let's face it, the Roman army there in Jerusalem, they were a killing machine. They knew how to kill. They executed people on Golgotha every day. This was not a unique occurrence. There were times in Rome where it said they crucified 6,000 men on the Via Appia coming into Rome. They crucified people there all the time. Thieves was a big problem. They knew when they were dead. These guys knew they did this every day. They never had to question whether somebody's dead or not. And they didn't even, they cut him, they stabbed him in the heart, and his heart was bleeding with blood and water. If he had not died on the cross, he would have died when they ran that lance through his heart. So he was dead. He was cold and he was buried, and they knew it, and everybody else knew it. There was no mystery back then. Only modernists come up with stupid things like that.
And it says, we preach Christ crucified. St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1:23. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. I don't think we realize in the 21st century how scandalous this is, that Christ would be crucified, that God himself. It's so scandalous that Muslims don't even believe that Jesus died this way.
Right, and the question is, how can God die? You say Jesus is God. That was what we dealt with already in the creed. How can God die? Well, very easily. God himself, the person of the Trinity, does not die. But death that came into the creation means a separation. Death was when the body was separated from the soul, when man was separated from God, when man was separated from nature. He's even separated from himself psychologically. So man is, when death is a separation, when Jesus, who is a divine person, both human and divine, when he died, his body was also separated from his soul. There was a separation of death. That was to be rectified on the third day when body and soul came back together and he rose from the dead, but God died. And it is scandalous for the Jews, because the Old Testament says that someone is cursed who's hanging upon a tree. How can you say that your Savior, that this is the Messiah, the Son of God, if he came down and he was cursed? He's cursed on a tree. There's no way he can be God. And yet they didn't understand the full beauty. Sometimes they say, science is stranger than fiction. When you, it's the real truth of things, sometimes you couldn't make it up. It's stranger than fiction could be. And the fact that God would come down and become a man and die and then come back alive is almost too hard to believe. And the Jews and the Greeks both had a difficult time with that, but it's true.
In this phrase from the Nicene Creed, for our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. We haven't even discussed the most mind-blowing part of that, is the first three words, for our sake. You know, Steve, right, when you knelt on that green vinyl couch as a kid and gave your life to Jesus, watching Billy Graham on the television, when I did the same thing in Vacation Bible School, that was the phrase. That was the phrase that made it all make sense, for our sake.
for our sake, and why does he love us so much? I don't have a clue, other than he made us in his image, and we must be pretty darn special, which is, well, just think, if he loves us that much to come and die for us, what he must think of abortion when babies are slaughtered for no reason, innocent babies, and people should remember that with the election coming up. But how much he loved us, how much he loves the baby that he has formed in the womb. We know from Jeremiah and St. Paul that he knits that baby together in the mother's womb. How much he loved us, how much he created us in his image for his own glory, we have no idea, but he does love us, and he loves the unborn, and we're so grateful that he did. Otherwise, we would have rotted in our sins and spent eternity in hell.
And nobody wants that. Thank you, Steve Ray. We've got his book linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Check it out. It's a really handy walk through the Nicene Creed. And we're going to say it this weekend at Mass, so you might as well take a minute to think about what you're actually saying. Let's check on weather for the nation. Looks like we've got Zeta remnants combined with another storm system from the plains that will depart the East Coast this afternoon. But before it leaves, morning rain will soak the mid-Atlantic while a bit of snow falls across interior portions of the Northeast. Colder air arrives later in the day. Meanwhile, high pressure building across the Great Lakes will produce a sunny afternoon across the southeast, south, central plains, and Great Lakes. And the western U.S. will continue its unseasonably warm trend. Got news with, or, well, not the full news. We're going to wait on that. But we got headlines next with Anna Mitchell. It's 17 minutes past the hour.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show. During these challenging times, it is comforting to have a media source like the Sunrise Morning Show to offer the Catholic perspective on news and current events, and to be able to hear from many of the most inspiring teachers of our faith. The Central Fabricator family encourages you to pray the rosary daily for an end to the coronavirus. May God bless your family, our nation, and the entire world from everyone at centralfabricators.com.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. solidarityhealthshare.org.
If you're on the pumpkin spice bandwagon but would rather not shell out $5 for a drink, the Mystic Monks can help you make your own at a fraction of the price.
Their pumpkin spice blend is now available along with all the other normal roasts. And when you buy their coffee after clicking the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, you earn us a commission.
And don't forget to check out the Sunrise Morning Show mugs and travel mugs in our online store.
You can find the online store and link to Mystic Monk coffee at sunrisemorningshow.com. That's sunrisemorningshow.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN. The EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. You can even make a donation. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number. 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
18 minutes past the hour. Here's Anna with headlines.
The Bishop of Nice, France, is closing all churches in his diocese and placing them under police protection in the wake of an attack that left three people dead in the Notre Dame Basilica in Nice. Pope Francis has expressed his closeness to those who are suffering from yesterday's attack, and Americans will gain an extra hour of sleep this weekend as Sunday marks the end of daylight savings time.
News at the top and bottom of each hour every weekday morning here on the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Anna Mitchell, I got a very important video we posted this morning from the Coming Home Network that I'm going to post on our Facebook page at sunrisemorningshow.com. Andrew Pettiprin, who's been on this show, former Episcopal priest who is now a Catholic layman. He serves as a fellow of Popular Culture for the Word on Fire Institute with Bishop Barron. Has a really important reflection that sometimes pops up in our work when we talk with people who come from denominations, like in Andrew's case, the Episcopal Church, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of controversy, a lot of questions of authority, a lot of people, Methodists are going through this big time right now, are fighting over doctrine and who's going to win the popular vote. If you think elections are ugly, when it comes to
politics.
Secular politics.
Yeah.
Go sit in on the United Methodist General Conference.
Oh, wow.
But he makes this important distinction about why, if you're in that situation as, you know, maybe you're a fundamentalist Christian who's like really angry at your fundamentalist roots, and or an evangelical who's dissatisfied with consumerism and evangelicalism. That was me, definitely. But you're drawn to the Catholic Church. Don't just go to the Catholic Church because you're ticked off at what you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Catholic Church because you see that as the pillar of foundation and beauty and truth, and because Christ is calling you there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are a lot of listeners who are either in RCIA or participating in helping with RCIA or who have gone through RCIA. I just think that's a very important distinction to make. Don't run away from something. Run to the church.
Right, exactly. You know, I was going to say that that very same principle applies to people who are considering religious life. I remember at one point I was considering religious life and was told...
Yeah, because you were sick of men.
Don't run away from your problems and think that religious life is going to fix them. It was, you need to be called to it. So...
Run to the truth, not just away from the falsehoods. We know that you don't need an excuse to shop at Amazon. It's become the place to go for everything from electronics to groceries to the books and resources you hear about on the Sunrise Morning Show.
And so, if you shop at Amazon for anything, please don't forget that you help earn us some extra money when you click the Amazon link at sunrisemorningshow.com.
Go to our site, turn off your ad blocker, and click on the Amazon ad on the side of the page. When you do so, you'll earn us a commission on your purchase.
So, for anything you need, that's sunrisemorningshow.com. Click Amazon.
Hello, I'm Father Timothy Scheer, and these are Biblical Impressions. We all recognize that last words can be very important. This is true for the patriarch Jacob. Near the end of his long life, Jacob makes these remarks to his children. He says, "Since I'm about to be taken to my kindred, bury me with my fathers in the land of Canaan. There Abraham and his wife Sarah are buried. And there, too, I buried Leah." Those words might go unnoticed by a casual reader of the Bible, but we should remember that for Jacob to even speak the name of Leah is itself an indication of a profound change within him. Through all his life, Jacob spoke of Rachel, his beloved Rachel, and her sons Joseph and Benjamin. His other sons recognized that Joseph was the favored one, just as his mother was the favored one. It shows that Jacob was finally turning towards gratitude and graciousness to God. It's interesting when the story of his life concludes, we read, "When Jacob had finished giving these instructions to his sons, he drew his feet into the bed. His journey is over, and he has made that journey well." For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Scheer.
Thanks for listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're happy to have you here on a Friday morning. It's 23 minutes past the hour. Joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Danielle Bean. You can find her at CatholicMom.com. Listen to her Girlfriends podcast through AscensionPress.com. Invite her to speak or lead a conference or a retreat at DanielleBean.com. And of course, she's heading up the virtual Catholic Mom Summit. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How's the summit coming along?
Coming along great. I'm really excited to see how many people are joining us, are going to participate as presenters, first and foremost. You're one of our presenters, one of our dynamic speakers that's part of this summit that's happening online November 13th through the 15th. I love all the different topics people are taking on, everything from prayer life to dealing with toddlers to dealing with teens to empty nest syndrome. Every way and shape and form that we experience motherhood is a part of this summit, and it's really been a joy to pull it together.
Just curious, what are you talking about? I mean, you're not doing anything, right?
Yeah, so my presentation is called 10 Things Happy Moms Know. So I'm letting you in on all the secrets inside of my talk.
Ooh, well,
Speaking of all the secrets, we're going to be talking about your secrets to a successful All Saints Day celebration. All Saints Day, of course, coming up on Sunday. And, you know, All Hallows Eve became a thing because of the Feast of All Hallows or All Saints Day. But Halloween has certainly taken over in popularity in our culture. Do you think that All Saints Day is something Catholic families should try to prioritize when it comes to celebrations?
For sure. And, you know, the opportunity's right there. I mean, our culture, not realizing the roots of Halloween and All Hallows Eve, just kind of turns it into this, like, gory mess, you know, mm-hmm. celebrating Halloween. But, you know, faithful Catholics can, of course, celebrate All Hallows Eve, but that doesn't mean, you know, chainsaw massacre. It can mean, you know, ghosts and witches and spooky things and that sort of thing. I mean, that's all about laughing in the face of death, which is what the saints teach us to do, because they have triumphed because of our Lord's triumph over death and sin and evil forever. So, you know, really, as Catholics, we're called upon to look at that beautiful teaching moment with our kids to teach them about the triumph of the saints. And there were so many. I mean, what a gift the Communion of Saints is to every one of us, because every temperament, every personality, every life circumstance is represented there in the Communion of Saints.
And by the way, we've got a thing going on our Facebook page that you can find through sunrisemorningshow.com. And Danielle, maybe this is a good idea to put on the virtual Catholic Moms Summit Facebook page, the community that you've formed there, asking people for their best All Saints Day costumes, because there are so many opportunities to have great costumes just dressing up as a saint.
Right. Right. And, you know, the years when our kids were little and they would be, you know, invited to a Halloween party or going trick-or-treating plus invited to an All Saints Day party, those days, for sure, could turn into a mess times eight kids, you know, trying to do two different costumes. So I'm a big fan of those costumes that transfer easily from one kind of celebration to the next. And there's a bunch of great ideas out there. So I hope you're getting some great ideas shared on your Facebook page as well.
What were your favorite costumes over the years?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so my son Stephen, one year, he was all about, you know, Saint Stephen. But it wasn't, you know, for any virtuous reason. It was because he wanted to, you know, he liked the blood and the gore of Saint Stephen, of course, was the first Christian martyr. Mm-hmm. He was stoned to death. So my son was all about the fake blood that year. And so part of his costume, this was super easy, moms, get some fake blood and get a big rock. And he put some blood on his forehead, and there was some blood on the rock, and he was all set for Halloween. I don't even know how he explained himself as we went trick-or-treating. But then for the All Saints Day party, to describe the life and times of Saint Stephen. I mean, there are all kinds of gory things that you might consider doing, like eyeballs on a platter. Anybody? I mean, there's so many opportunities among the saints, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. As you say, one of the greatest things is that we get to laugh in the face of death, that these ways that they were brutally murdered and killed were how they entered into heaven. Now, you told me, Danielle, that you've done all the things to celebrate over the years to varying degrees of success. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we've just done too many things, and this is one thing I would really recommend to moms, because there are so many opportunities. You're probably invited to be part of some school activity this time of year. You're probably invited to participate in some sort of trunk-or-treating or trick-or-treating or whatever's going on in your community. You're probably invited to All Saints Day, different activities. But I really encourage parents to pick and choose what's going to be most meaningful to your family, what's going to be fun. And often simpler is better. Some of the worst years have been when I've tried to do all the things for that year, and I wind up feeling exhausted and resentful and just feeling like it's too much effort on my part as the mom. And that actually affects everybody in the family. I don't know if you've noticed this, moms, but if you're feeling depleted and exhausted and resentful, then people are going to be picking up on those cues, and it's not going to be a fun family time. So be a little bit discerning about what you'll take on, what you will commit to with regard to these things, what you're going to kind of set as a standard for your kids' Halloween costumes. A little bit goes a long way, and sometimes we try to make it into our own show we're putting on with our kids' costumes. There's no benefit to anybody for that. Let the kids just enjoy having some simple fun, dress up in simple ways. Don't spend a fortune either monetarily or with the time that you're going to invest on it.
To that end, I thought that Roma was going to want to be Saint Joan of Arc for her class dress up for All Saints. It's an annual thing that the kindergartners do. And she chose Saint Thecla. Are you familiar? I just found out that Saint Thecla is the proto-martyr among women and equal to the apostles. She was taught by Saint Paul and actually survived martyrdom attempts to kill her. She was thrown to wild animals. And I think Roma liked her because the saint book that she was reading said she was really beautiful. So it's going to be fine.
Whatever motivates them.
I'm going to find a wild animal, stuffed animal, put a dress on her with some kind of veil over the top of her. It's going to be great. It's going
to
be great.
Good to go. And all about the candy anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, Danielle. You can find the virtual Catholic Mom Summit and CatholicMom.com. Linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. It's kind of a Catholic mom hour because Lisa Hendy will be joining us after the news here in a little bit to talk about her new book, which is good for All Saints Day as well. I'm a saint in the making, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, it's half past the hour. It's time for news. Pope Francis is urging French Catholics to respond with others in unity for good against evil following yesterday's deadly attacks at Notre Dame Basilica in Nice. Three people were stabbed to death by a man who reportedly yelled Allahu Akbar before attacking the custodian and two women. A message sent from the Vatican Secretary of State says, quote, "It is a moment of pain in a time of confusion. Terrorism and violence can never be accepted. Today's attack has sown death in a place of love and consolation like the house of the Lord. The Pope is informed of the situation and is close to the mourning Catholic community." It says he prays for the victims and their loved ones so that the violence may cease, so that we may return to look upon ourselves as brothers and sisters and not as enemies, so that the beloved people of France, united, may respond to evil with good. End quote. Meanwhile, the bishops of France are reacting with sorrow and prayer to the news of this attack. From Vatican Radio, Father Benedict Maiocchi reports.
President of the French Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Éric de Moulin-Beaufort, expressed his closeness to the people of Nice and to the Bishop André Massot. He prayed that they may know how to sustain themselves in this period of trial and support those who are tested in their flesh. He also recalled the proximity of the Solemnity of All Saints celebrated on the 1st of November, reminding all that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. On his part, Bishop André Massot of Nice expressed his sorrow on the tragic attack, saying that his sadness as a human being was infinite in the face of what other human beings can do. He also announced that all churches in Nice are closed and placed under police protection till further notice. I'm Father Benedict Maiocchi.
The Girl Scouts are making it clear they don't want to get involved in politics. They deleted a tweet yesterday congratulating Amy Coney Barrett for becoming the fifth woman appointed to the Supreme Court. They said they only meant to honor the five women, but their post was viewed as a political and partisan statement. The Girl Scouts have been linked with Planned Parenthood before. They explained that political and partisanship was not the intent and have since apologized for that tweet. The U.S. is announcing its largest ever civil seizures of fuel and weapons from Iran. Ryan Shook reports.
The Justice Department says it sold petroleum from that fuel, which was heading for Venezuela, for over $40 million. Most of the money will be sent to help victims of state-sponsored terrorism. As for the weapons, the department explained they were seized on two different occasions in the Arabian Sea in February and last November. I'm Brian Shook.
A bipartisan group of senators are introducing a resolution declaring China's actions against its Uyghurs as genocide. The resolution introduced earlier this week would express the, quote, sense of the Senate that the atrocities perpetrated by the government of the People's Republic of China against Uyghurs and other Muslim minority groups in an autonomous regain of the country constitutes genocide. It would also declare that China is violating the 1948 United Nations Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide and trigger an international response to China's actions. Walmart is pulling guns and ammunition from floor displays, fearing civil unrest from the upcoming election. The goal is to prevent thefts if stores get broken into. The retail giant has done this over the last few years, reacting to isolated cases of violence. It also stopped selling handguns years ago in nearly every state and banned buyers under 21. Firearms are now only carried in about half of the 4,700 stores. That's the news. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN. It's 35 minutes past the hour. The Sunrise Morning
Show. If you're on the pumpkin spice bandwagon but would rather not shell out $5 for a drink, the Mystic Monks can help you make your own at a fraction of the price.
Their pumpkin spice blend is now available along with all the other normal roasts. And when you buy their coffee after clicking the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, you earn us a commission.
And don't forget to check out the Sunrise Morning Show mugs and travel mugs in our online store.
You can find the online store and link to Mystic Monk Coffee at sunrisemorningshow.com. That's sunrisemorningshow.com.
What does the church say about organ transplants? We live in a world in which progress comes so quickly that some people never grasp the concept of one innovation before it's already made obsolete by even greater developments. That certainly is true of advancements in the medical field. Science has made it possible for doctors to accomplish today what was unheard of just a few years ago. Among these remarkable achievements is the broad area of human organ transplants, by which an organ donated by a total stranger can permit someone to have a new lease on life. Many of us were alive when the first organ transplant was carried out. The church encourages the donation of organs to help sustain the lives of others. But there are conditions that must be met. Anything that would place an unreasonable risk or which might threaten the life of the donor is morally unacceptable, and every potential organ donor or appropriate proxy must give full consent. For more information, consult your local pastor or refer to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2296. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
It's 37 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Lisa Hendy. So happy to have her back. She's founder of CatholicMom.com, and she's got a new children's book called I Am a Saint in the Making. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Anna.
It's so good to hear your voice and so happy to have you back. Now, this is your second picture book for kids. Your first one was called I Am God's Storyteller. So how would you say that I Am a Saint in the Making builds on that first book?
You know, it has the same seed of Genesis in that it was born when I went out to visit kids in schools. And this is one of the messages that I found was really resonating with little children, was the fact that, you know, we don't need to be grown-ups to have an impact on God's world around us, that right now, wherever we are, even in little ways, God needs us. And so we're all born to be sharing the good news of the gospel, and we're all called to be saints in the making. Maybe not there yet, but working on it.
That not there yet, but working on it is the important thing. I mean, this is the call for all of us. This is the universal call to holiness.
It is. And it's really, I think, something that, you know, you live with little ones, so you know that they can kind of, first of all, they love God and they love Jesus very, very much. And they gravitate towards these stories of men and women that have gone before us. And they love to hear the stories of the saints and to kind of liken themselves to, you know, if you go to like a class of second graders and ask them what saints they would like to meet, they often choose the ones who have similar traits, you know, that they've heard about, like Saint Sebastian, because I'm a soccer player and I love athletics, or, you know, Saint Clare. It's just really sweet to hear their love for the saints. And then at the same time, to remind them and to remind ourselves, too, as we're reading the book to them, that, you know, this is something that we can do right now. We don't have to wait to be older or more holy.
You know what I think I appreciate most about this book, Lisa, is that you hit home on the importance of holiness in small ways. Can you speak to that?
Well, I think in a lot of ways I am like a little child. Mm-hmm. It's like the more time I spend learning about my faith and trying to share it with others, the more I recognize that when I'm most impactful is when I really just look at the simple ways around me that God is using me, you know, to share his love. And it happens often in our homes or in our neighborhoods in ways that people won't really know. But sometimes I think we think, oh, my goodness, I have to be this great theologian or, you know, I've got to, you know, do something really remarkable, missionary work in Africa or something. But most often, God's using us right where we are. And to be honest, sometimes those are the hardest acts of love to give to.
Mm-hmm. I think the hardest one, I'm going to read a page here, but being a saint in the making also means that I need to keep my body strong and pure. Hey, kids, I'm reading to you right now. When I eat healthy meals, sleep well, and exercise, I train my body to be strong so that I'll be ready for any mission God gives me. Caring for the body God gave me means treating my body with respect and love. God gave me a body to help others. You know, Lisa, I got to say, I mean, obviously that, and by the way, we got to talk about the illustrations because they're beautiful, but you know, as we read these words to our children, we as moms and dads probably need to take in these messages ourselves.
Yeah, it's I love that page, so thank you so much for reading it because I kind of wrote it for myself. And I wanted to touch on some of the themes of theology of the body in a way that would be age appropriate. And, mm-hmm. you know, why is it that we, you know, strive for lives of chastity and, you know, why is it that we care for our physical body so we can serve others? And so, yeah, I think one of the great gifts of writing for children is that you often reach the hearts of the grown-ups who are reading the book to them, too.
Yeah, speaking of which, can you tell us about the resources that you have for parents at the end?
Yeah, that was an important thing to include in it to me. We did this with I'm God Storyteller as well. You know, how do you really take the precepts of this book and then continue to live them in your life? Because I think that one nice thing about a storybook is that it often equips a parent or a teacher or a catechist who may not necessarily have the words around teaching a precept to a child, and it opens up some ideas, but then you need to continue to live it. And so what we did was provide just some very simple ways that, you know, you can really continue to love the legacy of the saints and live it in your home.
Who are some of the saints that you feature in this book, Lisa?
Oh, my goodness. Well, of course, we have to start with the Holy Family. They're mm-hmm. always a great starting point. And you mentioned the illustrator. I want to talk about her in just a minute, but we go through, you know, the lives of so many saints, but one of my favorite spreads in the book is a two-page spread that's a map that features,
yes.
You know, Therese of Lisieux, who's my personal favorite, but also Juan Diego, even Augustus Colton, Mary MacKillop. We're trying to expose both beloved, well-known saints, but also diverse saints and saints from different parts of the world.
Now, let's talk about these illustrations. Who was your illustrator?
The Holy Spirit works overtime in connecting me with great illustrators, and my illustrator on this project is Katie Broussard, and I became aware of her when her book, Audacious Ignatius, on the life of St. Ignatius, crossed my desk, and I interviewed her, and it was right around the time that we were looking for an illustrator for this project, and she was at the top of my list. She's such a talented watercolorist. She's an educator and a mom of two sons, and I just love every little thing about her artwork. And there are so many little hidden gems in her illustrations in this book. You know, a page may not particularly be about a saint, but you'll find, you know, a saint hanging on the wall or a statue in the background. It's really lovely.
I was going to tell you, Lisa, so I told you what I appreciate the most about this book, but my favorite part of the book was looking around these pictures and seeing those little hidden saints around that give you a little extra homework if you want to do it.
Well, that's it. And how many times have you read a book like 80 million times to your children?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved those books that have like a little, you know, sneaky things on the pages. And Katie just, I mean, I think she hit it out of the ballpark with her illustrations. They are truly stunning. And so I hope this is a book that families will treasure for a long time.
It's called I Am a Saint in the Making, and you can find it linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Lisa, it really is a beautiful book. Thank you so much for sharing it with us this morning.
Oh, thank you, and God bless your continuing journey. You are a saint in the making.
Thank you so much. You are too. Matt, you are too.
Thank you.
I'm curious, is Zeke going to be dressing up for All Saints Day?
We haven't gotten that far. It's only Friday.
I didn't know if there was
how
like
dad's
a
plan
school
and how mom's
thing.
Plan.
No. Well, I didn't know if there was like a school thing. Like Roma's school on Monday, which I know is All Souls Day, but
right. They're
going to be focusing on All Saints Day as kindergartners.
Well, we got like a half day at school today.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of a, I'm not sure what we're going to do. We are going to probably visit a cemetery on mm-hmm. Sunday and
That's
pray the
call.
Office of the dead. Speaking of saints in the making, Anna Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
I want to give a shout out to Louise and Jeff Molnar at WSJE in Somerville,
yes.
West Virginia. 10 years.
Wow.
10 years of Catholic radio there in Somersville, West Virginia.
That's
awesome. And a proud member of the EWTN radio family. So good morning to everybody listening on FM 91.3 this morning. Congratulations on a decade of service and a decade of helping get shows like the Sunrise Morning Show and all the rest out. To your listening audience. So,
10 years old.
I know.
They're getting so big.
Remember when we turned 10?
Yeah.
That wasn't very long ago.
They're getting so big. We're in our tweens now.
We're
on the Sunrise Morning Show. So,
some people might say we
Although
like
our
than
radio
that.
Station,
radio
which produces, 20. Yeah, the radio station that produces the Sunrise Morning Show is, you know, in the 20s now. So,
there you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Pretty cool.
Well, we got coming up next a look ahead to All Saints Day and the readings from Mass with Father Hezekias Carnazzo, plus headlines with Anna Mitchell. Stay with us. It's 14 till.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org, solidarityhealthshare.org.
I'm Matt Swain, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Yesterday, I felt my mommy's tummy kick.
Wow, what was in there?
My new little brother or sister.
I think he's going to be a soccer player.
Bet he's already practicing in mom's tummy.
Mom says a baby has a heartbeat at 18 days.
Hi, my name is Angie. I work with ProLife Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or information, or would like to support the work of ProLife Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. ProLife Across America is totally educational, non-political, and tax deductible.
A baby is a baby is a baby.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
I feel that God has been really doing a work in me in the last 5-10 years. I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I started to just really feel a passion to know more about the Catholic faith, and I started listening to Catholic radio all day. I'm not doing great things, but I'm doing small things with great love.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Hezekias Carnazzo from the Institute of Catholic Culture. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Annie. Such a blessing to be with you and your listeners. We prepare for this beautiful Sunday of All Saints.
Yes, very much looking forward to discussing All Saints Day with you. And the first reading comes from the book of Revelation. And of course, the book of Revelation is one that confuses people all the time. So let's dive into this a little bit. Who are these people who have been marked with the seal? It says that there are 144,000 of them. So does that mean there are 144,000 people in heaven?
Yeah, well, this is what the Jehovah's Witness will say when they come knocking on your door on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. But this is all nonsense. But the scriptures, of course, use oftentimes symbolic language to point to a greater truth. And so we see this oftentimes in the scriptures. We'll see numbers like 10,000 or 100,000, or in this case, 144,000. You know, or the number 7 and so forth. These numbers are meant to tell us something. In this case, it's a sense of fullness. You have from the 12 tribes, it says, of Israel come 144,000. That's 12,000 times 12,000. So this is, in a sense, it simply means a fullness. A lot of people that gathered in from God's people of Israel. And then it says, he said, again, another vision, and there's a great multitude from every nation now, race, people, and tongue. So now there's a gathering in of all the world that are coming out to worship the Lamb. The book of Revelation is in some senses quite simple in that it is John's vision while he celebrates the divine liturgy on Sunday while he's in exile in Patmos. And suddenly everything that goes on in the Mass in some sense becomes incarnate in front of him. All the symbols and signs and so forth, the Eucharist itself. Now he sees the Lamb of God standing, risen, as though slain with all the marks of the sacrifice that he underwent. And so he suddenly, in the middle of the Mass, all of the things we see, the people chanting, holy, 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 he suddenly sees the angels now all around him, the throne of God, and the worship taking place in heaven, which is the Mass that we celebrate every Sunday.
Now, Father, how did these people get to heaven?
Well, this is a good point, Annie. The whole reason why we have this reading on the Sunday of All Saints. The most important thing to remember about a saint, or when we say, what is a saint? Oftentimes we think, well, a saint is that who's declared a saint by the Pope when they have the celebration in Rome. No. A saint does not become a saint when he's declared a saint. He's a saint while he's alive on earth, or he's not a saint at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can say these people get to heaven in a sense of enter into a fullness of communion with God because they have lived a life of God's way of life. Holiness is an attribute of God. The word saint comes from the Latin sanctus, which means holy. Huh? Sanctus, holy, holy. It's an attribute of God. And so these people have God's way of life filling them. And St. Paul says, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Oftentimes we see the saints as those people out there. But no, the saints are the people in here. When we're standing in church on Sunday, this is the saints of the Church of St. Joseph or the Church of St. Anthony, whatever church. These are the saints of God, those who have been filled with God's life. We have been baptized into him. We've been made one with him, and therefore his life is our life. We are the saints of God that make up the church, the body of Christ. And those that have gone before us into a fullness of communion with God are those that we see here in the book of Revelation.
And they're also the type of people that we read about in the gospel for Sunday, don't we? I mean, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives us the Beatitudes.
Thank you, Annie. Thank you. Absolutely. The Beatitudes are, you know, we hear these, and we've been hearing them since we were children. So oftentimes we hear them, oh, okay, here we go again. Blessed, 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 blessed. What does it mean to bless something? It means to give God's life to it. Things that are blessed are filled with God's life. Yes, we bring icons to the priest, or the priest blesses the bread and so forth. All of these things, he blesses the baptismal waters. Filling these things again with God's life as God meant them in the beginning. And therefore, the priest is this conduit of grace. And so those that are blessed are those that have God's way of life, those that are merciful, those who are peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I mean, that's Jesus, yes? And so these are the people that have God's way of life within them. And we are invited this Sunday not to celebrate those far off at sea, if you will, but those here now and the transformation of my life that God has called me to be a saint here and now, to try this on. Jim, Frank, Mary, all those listening to this show right now. St. Jim, St. Joe, St. Mary, St. Annie. That's what we're called to now, today.
Well, and that's exactly what we hear in the second reading about from the first letter of St. John. He says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. We need to be working out our salvation now." But I want to end with you today, Father, reflecting on the responsorial psalm. This is from Psalm 24, and I'm just hoping to get your reflection on this particular verse in it, because I think it's so beautiful. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? One whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain.
Isn't that beautiful? And I go back to what we just said, Annie, about this. It's here in the responsorial psalm. Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. My brothers and sisters, do you long to see the Lord's face? Are your hands sinless and your heart clean? Do you desire not what is vain? This is a call, brothers and sisters, to go to confession, prepare ourselves for this Sunday, and then rejoice in this longing that we have in our heart to be with the Lord, the saints of God here in the Church of Jesus Christ.
Because as you said at the beginning, we will be walking into that Mass and celebrating the same liturgy that they are celebrating in heaven. They're doing it with us.
Mm-hmm. It's made one. When we go to Mass on Sunday, the church is taken up into the heavenly liturgy. And when we sing song two, holy, 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 we sing it with the angels. And we come to the altar of the Lord in heaven, in present in our church.
Such a beautiful privilege that we have as Catholics to be able to participate in that on a daily basis, if we so choose. Thank you so much, Father Hezekias Carnazzo. You can find him at instituteofcatholicculture.org, which is linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. That'll do it for this national edition of the Sunrise Morning Show. Two more hours for our locals and those of you listening via the Sunrise Morning Show app. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.